All righty, you can go ahead and be open your Bibles up to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be there in just a second. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. So every day we make choices. Of course, some choices are bigger than other choices. Some choices are going to mean bigger and more significant consequences. Making choices all the time. So, go over to McDonald's, right? You ever noticed that the amount of combo meals that they have like grows every year? It used to start off with over like 4 combo meals. Now it's up to like 15 different combo meals. So you pull through the drive-thru and you start looking at that. And I don't know if you're like me, but there's all of a sudden kind of this overwhelming feeling because there are so many choices. Or go over to HEB and try to buy cereal. There are like 5,000 different types of cereal that you can buy. In our culture today, there are all kinds of options out there. We are making choices on a regular basis. Now, of course, some choices are bigger than others, like I mentioned. Who we're going to marry? That's a big choice. Big decision. Lots of prayer goes into that, or hopefully a lot of prayer goes into that. If we're going to take this job or not, that's a big choice. Maybe it will mean that it will mean a change for our family. It might mean a change in location. And so that choice has several large consequences for our life. Are we going to go on that trip? Are we going to go spend time with these folks? Are we going to make it a priority to be a part of this church family? All kinds of choices that we're making all the time. Some big choices, some small choices. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1954 just finishing up his PhD program at Boston University, had a very big choice to make. Of course, he was a gifted minister, a gifted theologian. He had 2 job offers. One of them was in Detroit, Michigan. He knew that going to Detroit, Michigan would mean a great situation for his family. It would bring relatively safe environment for his family to live in. It would bring in a great income for his family. So Detroit, Michigan was one of his choices. The other choice, as we all know, was Montgomery, Alabama. That was a difficult choice for him. Of course, at that time, 1954, it was a volatile situation for places like Montgomery, Alabama. So what would Martin Luther King Jr. choose? Now, when it comes to choices, there's one really important question that I think that we should be asking ourselves. Very important question when it comes to choices. And of course, this applies more with those big choices that we make. We're going to get to that question in just a second. Let's allow Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 to help us with this question. And we'll also look at Proverbs chapter 2 here in just a second. So, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says there, of course, Paul writing to the church in Colossae, says there, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." That's Proverbs chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The Christians that were living in Colossae at this time would have been living in a world that wasn't really that much different than our world today. A lot of times I think when we open up Scripture and we think about the cultural situation of those that were recipients of Paul's letters, for instance, we're living in a world that was just completely different than ours. But I actually don't think that that was the case. These people at this time faced struggles, faced hardship. One that we talked about over and over again in our series on Philippians was, of course, persecution that these people faced. But not only that, but it was a very pluralistic society even at that time. There was the worship of all kinds of other gods that was taking place at that time. It was also a materialistic society. It was a society that experienced a large wealth gap, like we experience today. So these people, those that Paul was addressing originally, faced all kinds of choices with major implications, just like we face today. And so we notice the prayer that Paul is going to pray for these Christians in Colossae. He prays that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they will have wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Okay, I think it's likely anyways that Paul, of course, schooled in Judaism, may have had a passage like Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 in his mind as he was addressing these Christians in Colossae. So look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 here in just a moment. Let's go ahead and get that on the screen. Okay, it says there, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as if for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." You see what we see in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. You see some of the same words, the same ideas, the same concepts brought up in both passages. That the fear of the Lord, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of God is so crucial for living the kind of life that God calls us to live. Of course, we know that the book of Proverbs, in that section of Scripture that's often referred to as the wisdom literature, right? This is how to live a life in covenant with God. And so in Proverbs chapter 2, it says, seek wisdom. Just as someone was to search out for silver, if you knew that silver was out there, if you knew that there was a great amount of money somewhere out in the parking lot, and after this service, we were gonna say, okay, there is $1,000 out there. So I bet we'd all run out there, right? Try to find this $1,000. We'd push people around and stuff like that. That's what we see in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Search for wisdom like you would search for silver. Desire it. Understand the value and the importance of wisdom. So I said that there's a question that we should ask when we're faced with different kinds of choices that we have in life. And of course, we're not talking about what cereal to pick in HEB or what combo meal to get at Sonic and McDonald's. But we're talking about those big choices that we have to make. And the question is very simple. Is this a wise choice? Am I making a wise choice? Thinking about all of the decisions that we have to make in our lives. Is the choice that I'm making demonstrating wisdom? How do we become wise? So, okay, that sounds good. We should say something like, we should think through if our choice is going to be wise. Okay, we get that. Well, how do we get wisdom? Of course, Paul is going to say that the wisdom comes from God, comes from the Spirit. That's what we see in Colossians 1, 9 and 10. But there is a partnership, I believe, in receiving this wisdom. God does something. God has done something for us, but there's something that we do as well. So I just want to throw out three things. How do we gain wisdom as Christians? The first thing, very simply, is to read the Word. How do we come to understand the wisdom of God, the desires of God? First of all, it comes through reading the Word. If you are perpetually making poor choices in your life, I'm going to imagine, or I'm going to guess, that you're not spending much time reading the Word. You're not spending much time in the Word. There's two ways to think about it, too. There's the one side of, are we in the Word? The other question is the Word in you? Are you allowing that word to be soaked up into your life? How do we become wise? We read the word. Secondly, we spend time with wise people. Remember what Paul said. He said that good company corrupts good character. The reverse of that is also true. By spending time with wise people, we will have a character that reflects the heart of God. So what kind of people are you running around with? Are you spending time with? If you're spending time with people that make good choices, make wise choices, then it's likely that you are going to make wise choices as well. Not to mention that through spending time with wise people, you'll be creating bridges in which you can walk across to spend time with them seeking counsel and advice. When it comes to making wise choices, we're not on an island. We can talk to people about choices. We can talk to people about the decision that we make. We can talk to them about our thought process, and hopefully through that, they will offer counsel and advice to us. And I'd like to say to the younger people that are here today, seek counsel. Seek counsel and advice from those with more experience, those people that you have seen demonstrate wisdom in their life. As I was processing whether to come down here to work, Leander, there were several people that I sought advice and counsel from as we made this decision on whether or not to come down here. Are we spending time with wise people? And then the third thing is to simply pray for wisdom. Ask for it. Now, a lot of times we think, okay, if we could ask for anything, if we were in the situation of a Solomon, right? We could ask for anything from God and know that it's going to be granted to us. What would we ask for? We see the situation of Solomon, that he asked for wisdom, and God granted that wisdom to him. Are we asking for wisdom in the decisions that we need to make? A lot of times, what happens, and I know this has been the case for me, and maybe it's been the case for you. For some of you, it might have been a while back, and got to remember back to these days. For some of us, we might be experiencing this right now, but think about having like a calculus test or a pre-calculus test. Now, in leading up to that test, I would imagine that we'd spend a lot of time in preparation for that test, right? We would study. We'd be reading the textbook. We'd be working through equations and things like that. We'd be preparing for the test. We certainly wouldn't just go into the classroom that day without doing any studying at all and just say, okay, bring on the test. I'm going to do that. Now, I realize there's some here that are probably borderline genius and all that. You would do just fine with a calculus test. I know for me, and maybe some others, we would struggle with that test. The point, though, of all of this is a lot of times we don't seek gaining that wisdom, and then we get into these situations where we have to make choices, and we aren't prepared to make those choices. We will all have to make difficult choices. Maybe we haven't had to make one in a while. Maybe it'll be a while into the future we have to make choices. But are we preparing ourselves now for the choices that we have to make? Let's continue on in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says there, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Okay, so we ask ourselves, what is the importance of choosing wisely, of having this wisdom, of seeking this wisdom as someone would seek silver? Why is this important anyways? I would imagine, if we asked anybody here, is it important to you to please the Lord, to live a life that honors God, to live a life that is worthy of the Lord? I would imagine every one of us here would say, absolutely, that's what we want to do. That's what we desire in our life. Seeking wisdom, being filled with the wisdom that God can give us, and living a life that is worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, bearing fruit, all of those things go hand in hand. So as we have all of these choices, and as we make wise choices, we are in a position to honor God in those choices. And so we could say, are you making a wise choice, whatever that choice may be, to take that job, to move to that place, to attend church, to do all of these things? Are you making a wise choice? And then secondly, is that choice pleasing God, honoring Him, helping you to live a life that is worthy of Him? These are all things that we need to process as we think about making choices that come up in our life. Three different areas that I'd like to mention here for just a second. And we brought these up in an evening service a while back. But as we reflect on the choices that we make, I want to talk about these three areas for just a second. The first one is in the area of sex. Okay, I know we're just going to talk about it for just a second. I want you to listen to these statistics about pornography specifically for just a moment. Every second, $3,075 is spent on pornography. Now, these numbers are from a while back, too, several years back. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second. Every second, 372 internet users are typing adult search terms into search engines. And then every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States. I remind you, these numbers are from a while back, and so all of these are going to be multiplied several times in this day and age. So, we think about sex, and specifically the context here of pornography. Are we making good choices when it comes to sexual purity? Are we making wise choices when it comes to sex? We see in our culture today that in so many ways this dishonoring of a gift from God is perpetuated time and time again. So when it comes to making choices regarding sex, are we making wise choices? Would we say that we are making choices that reflect a desire to live a life worthy of God? Fruitful decisions. The area of time. The average American, again, these numbers are from a while back. The average American spends 28 hours a week watching television. We think about our use of the internet. No specific data on that, but I would imagine that that number would be very high for spending time on the internet as well, in sort of not useful ways. And just the busyness of our life. So we have choices to make on how we use our time. Are we making wise choices when it comes to our time? Are we being wasteful with our time? Is our time being spent, let's say, on work, so much so that is actually hurting the health of our family? So how do we use our time? Are we making wise choices when it comes to time? And then with money. There was a study that was done in the UK a while back, and this is interesting, and this isn't going to be shocking to any of us, I don't think, but the test indicated that it wasn't how much money someone made that determined their feeling of happiness about money, but what determined their happiness about money is how much more they made than the people around them. So it was sort of a competitive, keeping up with the Jones mindset that was taking place. And we know in our culture today that money is an idol. It can be an idol. We'll put it that way. So when it comes to money, are we making wise choices? Again, what are wise choices? Wise choices are choices that reflect a desire to live a life worthy of God, that are going to bear fruit for Him. They're going to demonstrate our love for Him. In these three areas, are we choosing wisely? In the Gospel of John, John is telling us about how Jesus was traveling around preaching the good news of the kingdom. And as we read through John, there's a sense of excitement because so many people are coming to the Lord. They're They're just giving over their lives, totally surrendering to Him. And through it, people are being changed. And there's this multiplying effect that's taking place as the gospel is preached. The kingdom is growing, and it's exciting. It's just completely exciting. But then we get over to this passage, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Look at what John tells us here in John chapter 12. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. These leaders had a choice to make. They could give their life over to Jesus Christ and find eternal life in Him, find true security and mission and life through Jesus Christ, or they could just continue on in the same patterns that they've been living for years. And John tells us that out of fear, they chose not to follow Jesus Christ. We're told that they loved human praise more than praise from God. And all of the choices that we have, are we going to demonstrate courage to make wise choices that will bear fruit in our lives and will witness to the work of God in the world? So Martin Luther King Jr. had a choice to make. He could go to Detroit, Michigan and minister there. Not a bad choice. Or he could go into the heart of the segregated South and minister with a church in Montgomery, Alabama. We all know the choice that he made. He chose to go minister in Montgomery, Alabama. And as they say, the rest is history. He courageously demonstrated who God is, the heart of God, in that place. I believe he chose wisely. Will we be a people that choose wisely? If there's anybody here this morning that wants to make the choice to give your life to Jesus Christ through baptism, today would be a great day to make that choice. If anybody here today wants to make the choice to come forward to share your heart with us, because there are things that you need us to pray with you about, pray for you about, we would be so glad to do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.